Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello, we're here with the Forward with Purpose podcast with Linda and Mindy, and today Amy Garner is our special guest. Amy and I met about a year ago at an abortion recovery conference in Ohio, and she was just on fire, and she really sparked my interest and motivated me to see how women could lead men in abortion recovery groups, at least until the men are raised up. And so I wanted her to come on and talk about her experience leading men and, you know, the differences, and just kind of maybe hopefully spark that fire in some of you. So Amy, but I want to know a little bit more about you. You've shared a little bit with me at the conference, but it was always between things. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about your story, how you even got to doing abortion recovery work and why it's so passionate and what you're doing now.
Sure. So super excited just to have this conversation today. I was called into ministry back in 2003, spent my early years in ministry in children and family ministry. And then in 2016, the Lord said, I want you to write your story. And so it was a story of abortion and redemption. And I was probably a lot like everybody. I can't write a book. No way. It seemed a little bit like some disobedience there for about 6 months, but then published it. It picked up a little bit of traction, won a couple of awards. And so then I saw it go overseas, which kind of opened my eyes there that abortion's a global issue. It's not just a United States issue. And then women just started coming to me. And so that kind of launched me into abortion recovery ministry. Then I moved to Ohio in 2019, got connected with just an amazing network in Ohio through PDHC. And then probably about a year or two into being here in Ohio, the Lord sent me to seminary. So I got a Master of Divinity in theology, which really kind of began to flesh out the theology behind what I knew, what I had lived, and what I knew to be true in God's word. And so then just kind of started from there. And then he started sending me men.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And so real quick, what is the name of your book?
Redeemed for a Reason.
Redeemed Ooh. For a Reason. Okay. That's a new one I got to buy now. I love to read people's books. So is it on Amazon?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And, okay. So men, that is why we're here today, because, last year when I was getting ready to go to the, AR Advocates Conference in Ohio, was asked to be on a panel with Amy, and I was going to be talking about something different. It was just like a panel of various topics and people just speaking on them. But what was interesting to me is the topic that you were going to talk on, and that you, leading men in abortion recovery. And I already knew somebody who was doing this, and I had already kind of prayed about it and thought, there's no way, you know. I don't know that I prayed hard. I just thought, no way, you know. I mean, I'm not that comfortable with men. And, but something you said on that, that panel discussion, the pre-panel discussion where we were just kind of hashing out how we were going to talk and what we're going to talk about, really got my attention. Because you said something to the effect of, until men are raised up, who's going to lead them, basically, right, was the challenge. And so I just kind of wanted you to talk about, okay, so the men came to you, kind of how that happened and what your experience, your first experience was leading them through.
Yeah. So I started doing just abortion recovery through my local church, and just through connections, women kind of, a couple came through a woman that I had led previously. She knew of a couple guys, and then there were a couple guys in my church. So it just kind of all came at one time, and I can remember just being in prayer. And I think I was probably a lot like everybody else. For years, I would have said, "Men are not my ministry. Like, women are my ministry, but man, somebody should help these guys
Yeah,
out."
right. Somebody
Right?
else.
Like somebody needs to help them. And then all of a sudden, it just felt like four men were asking for help. And so I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do because I don't see anybody around here who's leading. I don't see another guy who's leading men." And he said, "Amy, I brought him to you." And I said, "Well, I'm not qualified." And he said, "Well, it's a good thing that you're not the one who has to do the healing then." And so I realized just in that moment, it's not me. I don't have to do the healing. No one's ever been healed in my name, praise Jesus. They're healed in the name of Jesus, right? And so
Right.
you just got to show up. And so I did. And I can remember that very first group being scared out of my mind, but just decided to be obedient and walk in that room and let Jesus do what Jesus does.
I love that. And really, who is qualified? I mean, we've said this several times on this podcast, having abortion doesn't even make us qualified to lead abortion recovery groups. It's a calling of God, and that's it alone. It's Jesus Christ. So in that first group, you led men and you led them the same way you led the women, basically. Same kind of concepts and thought processes and activities and
Kind of changed some along the way. I feel like, there's just some natural changes that probably take place. I think one of the things that scares women, quite honestly, is that we look at a women's group and we know that, hey, when we're in a women's group, we're going to cry together, we're going to hug each other, we're going to be vulnerable together, we're just going to be more intimate, right? And we're going to just know each other inside and out before that group's over. And so then you look at a men's group and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to do that with guys I don't know. And you don't. It's a very different feeling, very different. And so you walk into it knowing immediately that there's just going to be a difference here. I'm not as emotional with men as I am with women. There's certainly, we set those guidelines right out of the gate. There's not going to be any one-on-one communication. We're going to have a group text, and all of our communication is going to go through that group text. There's always more than one man in the class. If there's just one, then we're going to cancel class until we can have two or three or more guys in the class. I don't meet one-on-one with men. So it has a different feel naturally. Does that make
Yep.
sense?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Did you, with that, you still didn't know that what other differences might become with men. And so, I'm trying to figure out, like, did you bring something into the men's group that you were like, okay, I'm not doing that again? Or did you do completely reorder that group before you ever started?
I probably walked through it with a whole lot of prayer, I will tell you that. And we just reordered as we went, and I kind of learned on the fly.
And
I did.
what was the biggest thing that you learned about men that were different?
Learning some of the similarities was really interesting to me because I think I thought there would be more differences than there
Oh,
were,
okay.
and there
Really?
weren't. They are hurting the same way that we are. They feel the same emotions that we do. They have the same manifestations that we do. I saw a lot of grief. I saw a lot of anger. I saw a lot of control issues. Especially if you think about men who some had a say, but some didn't have a say.
Oh, yeah.
That just kind of naturally produced some control issues that we needed to just kind of point out. There was numbness, and I felt that was the same. I was very used to working with women who went numb and kind of shut off emotions. So that was interesting that that was going to be the same as far as, talking to guys about, how we're going to turn those emotions on, but we're going to do it gently and a little bit at a time. Self-punishing behaviors. I did not think I would see that in men like I see it in women, and I did. So I was probably a little bit more shocked by the similarities than the differences.
about their willingness to be vulnerable with each other? I've always wondered about that.
They are completely vulnerable with each other. Now,
Really?
they're probably like a little bit like us. It's going to take a while to build a little bit of trust, right?
Sure.
But between the guys in the group, the bonding that I would see happening between them was really phenomenal and special. And it's probably the same that we would have with women in our women's group, but they would exchange numbers, and they were very vulnerable. They're very honest about what they've gone through and their feelings about it, and they're willing to talk about it.
That's interesting. I'm wondering, I remember some of the words that you used last year when we talked, and it's been a whole year, and so I'm thinking, obviously more knowledge and understanding has developed for you within this year of leading men, but you talked last year about removing the fluff from men's group. And so I want you to talk about that and give us some like examples of what fluff is in your definition.
So that was the first thing I did. I cut out everything. So like we do the little gifts with each other.
Okay.
We talk about self-care, and I do still talk about self-care, but it's probably in a different way. But you know, any of the extra things that we would do, some of them, for example, like we in my women's group, we would get together and we would probably start with worship. We would sing we would have a song together, and that would just kind of like set the tone, if you will. With the men's group, I found that to be very awkward. They're going to sit in awkward silence. And so that I didn't do that past day one. Like that was our first session, and I was like, well, that did not go well. That was a little bit awkward for all of us. So cut that out immediately. And then as I began to do more and more groups, I really was just honest with guys because I feel like men want to know what to expect. Tell them up front what to expect. So I would tell them, listen, if you can get here at 6 o'clock, we're going to get here on time. We're going to talk about what we need to talk about, and I'm going to get you out of here and home for dinner. And so if it was 5:30 to 6:30 or 6 to 7, whatever that schedule was, it was, I'm going to get you here at this time. I'm going to get you out at this time, and you will be home by this time. And then I stuck to that. We started on time. We were very concise. I kind of talk about the fact that men are not necessarily the verbal processors that women are. That's not that they don't want to talk about their feelings. They will. But I think in a women's class, we're a little bit more loosey-goosey on like how we're just going to let the spirit go, and we'll talk about some things, and then we'll come back and we'll loop around. You know what I mean? Like we'll kind of talk about things and then come back to them maybe. But in a men's class, it's pretty much lined out exactly what we're going to speak on. And I'll give them the target in advance. I find that that's really helpful with men. Like I will give a target for the session.
Like
So if we're
objectives.
yes, like we
Okay.
are going to talk about the enemy's involvement in your life before your abortion, that's what we're going to talk about this evening. And that's what we talk about.
So, what book are you using with the men?
Right now I use Healing a Father's Heart.
Oh, with by Linda Cochran.
Yes.
Okay. Have you had any couples come to you yet wanting that had their abortion together?
I've had, yes, several, but I don't do them as a couple. I don't lead couples
Okay.
classes. I
Okay.
will ask my women to be in the women's class and my men to be in a men's class. And one of the reasons why that is, really for both of them and the health of both, is that they need a safe place where they can be honest about their feelings. She is going very likely to feel like he didn't protect her. And he's going to feel like he might not have had the voice that he wanted to have. And so to give them that safe place, both of them, I feel like it was very important to take them out of into different classes. So I've done a lot of classes with the wife and in my women's class, and then the husband coming the day after. I try to keep them close together. Just because some of the things that we do, you know, and I'll tell them, please don't You can, of course, talk about what we discuss outside of this class, but please don't tell him what's coming, kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I
that
love
does.
how they relate to you as a woman being there. Because you kind of represent maybe the girlfriend, or the mother of the baby. Do you find that dynamic coming out at all?
I find that dynamic to be very helpful to them
Okay.
because a lot of time they don't know what a woman was thinking. And just especially for the men who, find out after the fact, just being able to be that voice and tell them, the amount of fear that goes along with that decision and even being able to tell them stories of women that I have seen and experiences of women to help them understand this is what your wife maybe has gone through, or this is what she was thinking at the time she made that decision. It's very, I think, healing for them to understand the other side.
Regardless of what she said, what she really meant.
We see women come in and we watch them go from, this anxious and trepidation and, these fear, and then we'll leave elated and on, confident, standing firm on the founder of Christ, the foundation of Christ. And, we see that progression. Is it the same for men?
I often say compartmentalization often looks like disassociation.
Okay.
For the longest time, I used to think because you can see, yes, you can see it in a woman. There's that day she's going to walk in and she just looks lighter. You know what I mean? Like it's visible to us. You're not going to see that with men.
Okay.
Not going to be the same. But if you listen to what they're saying, it's the same inside. Does that make sense? They're, by the end, I hear it, and they're certainly at that place. Do I see it as visibly in them as I do her? No, but I do hear it at the end. And certainly, I've had so many men who just along the way, especially those last 3 or 4 weeks, right? We know how special those last 3 or 4 weeks are in the journey. And they are just so grateful. And they're like, Amy, I never knew this. I did not know that God could forgive me like this. And I did not know that I could experience his forgiveness and his grace like this. And oftentimes, I mean, I know that we get this in both, but oftentimes they're like, why? Why didn't we hear this in church? Why hasn't the pastor told us this? Right? We see that and we hear that on both sides, but certainly with men, I think it's why didn't he explain it the way you've explained it? And oftentimes we know that's just because they don't know. So.
Speaking of the end of the study, I know as married, when I had my children, my husband didn't really bond with those children until they were born. when I was pregnant, I mean, he knew I was pregnant and he knew it was a baby, but there was no bonding that really happened till he holds that baby because we're the ones that carry that baby. So how is it different for them as they acknowledge the worth of their children and own their children and grieve? How is that different for men?
How's that different? I feel like for them, they process it a little differently. A man is wired to provide and protect, right? And I think that's just a natural wiring in men. And so when they feel like they have failed to provide or protect, especially in the case of an abortion, that protect or that provision kind of almost kicks over gear. And so I find that a lot of the guys that I work with, they're trying to earn it by being a good provider to the family that they have now. And so how are they processing the loss of a child? For one, they step back from their role as leader in the family, and I find that to be very true for them. I've heard comments like, how can I possibly tell my kids what to do after what I've done? How can I possibly tell them right from wrong after what I've done? So I just sit back and I let her do it, their wife. So they've kind of abdicated that leadership role in the family, and they just try to provide as much as they can, almost in a way to make up for it. So I feel like those are the self-punishing behaviors that we see in women. But I think that's just for them, that's how they're processing it. And it's almost like a compartmentalization sometimes. They'll take that abortion and stick it in the back of their mind and just refuse to think about it, much like we do, but yet it leaks out in their lives just as much as it does in ours. I think one of the interesting issues with men is dealing with the man who found out after the fact. Because how do you grieve being the loss of fatherhood when you didn't even know before you lost it? And now there was this baby that I didn't even know about, and I didn't even have a say in it. And so those are unique experiences for men to kind of process through as well.
I'm curious, we were just talking about this in a different session, how, sharing our story furthers our healing, and serving other people furthers our healing. And how does serving men in this capacity add to your healing? Were you surprised, or did it add to your healing?
I think everything we do honestly adds to our healing, right? Every single person that we walk with, whether it's a man or a woman, I feel like it's been a joy to me to see the other side, to see the love that God has for his sons, just in that, in the redemption and the kindness, oh, the loving kindness of our Lord in that. And also to see, maybe it has helped me understand brokenness a little bit more. Even some of the pain in my story before the abortion, it has helped me to see where that pain came from. Does that make sense? It broken people or hurt people, right? That's what we say. And so really just understanding that brokenness and where it's coming from in a man, very much the same. It's Satan's involvement in his life, just like it was Satan's involvement in our life. But then being able to put those pieces together of this is how we end up hurting each other in this broken world and what it leads to.
I think it's really interesting that lately the pro-abortion forces have been allowing men to speak more on this. For so long it was,
Really?
no womb, no say, the guys can't speak on this. It's just a woman's issue. And I know I've seen several interviews where they're pulling out men to talk about abortion rights. And I think we've fallen into the same trap maybe a little bit, just in owning it as just a woman's issue in the church as well. And I know, Amy, your passion and God has gifted you and really blessed you in the area of speaking to pastors. I love the work that you're doing there too. And allowing men to have a voice, I think, is important. Would you like to speak to that for just a minute?
I think first of all, men's voices in the church are powerful. Let's be honest. I feel like they're very powerful, and oftentimes they are the silent ones who the silent wounded who are sitting there in our pews, and so just being able to cast a light there to know that men are hurting too. It's not just a woman's issue. We're not the only ones who are hurting. It scars them just like it does us. And it affects us all, just even generationally, it can affect us. So just being able to have that voice, I feel like in the church is important. I feel like we're starting to give men that voice in the pro-life world, but really opening up that in the church, and talking about it has I think going to be healing for the church. And we've got to heal the church if we're going to heal the world,
That's
right?
right. That's
Amen.
right. The church has to come first. I'm curious, just as is just my own curiosity, but kind of the age of the men that are coming to you, what are you seeing?
Mostly I would say 40s and 50s.
That's telling. That's kind of why I was curious. I mean, even the other thing that pastors and leaders in the church will say, well, it's not my church. That's for young people. You know, my church is filled with older people, but abortion's been around since the 70s. And so anybody who's in their 70s and 80s, you know, is very likely to have had abortion in their past and still struggling with it. So I just wanted to know.
It's 1 in 5 men, right? 1 in 5 men have experienced abortion.
Now, just out of curiosity, this is a side, totally a side note. It's 1 in 4 women, right? Why wouldn't it be 1 in 4 men?
I think we see men often have multiple.
Okay.
What I've seen is men often have multiple.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that either. So it's not usually just one abortion in there that they're dealing with. And when you say multiple, what are we talking? Do you think on average, just what you're seeing?
2 to 3, all the way up to 8. So, and I
Wow.
think they look back on a past where they feel their selfishness and that haunts them as they look back.
Yeah,
Does
there's
that?
something about age that sobers us, doesn't it, in there? That
Yeah.
helps us to see reality.
As they memorialize these babies, are there anything particular that you have found that speaks to men maybe more than some of the things we're doing for women?
On the memorialization, this was one of those things that, first of all, this is just the way I do it, and I'm certainly not the expert. I know that there's been a lot of people out there doing different things, and I love to hear all the different ideas. One of the things that I want to do is kind of take the awkwardness out of it for men. So I kind of put a little bit of competition in it. So, you know, it doesn't feel so weird for them. And so we did the balloons. I do the balloons with the women, and so I did with the men as well. But with the men, it was like, hey, you know, these are our children, and we kind of wrote the names on the balloons. And I said, you know, now we're going to go out and let our children race to heaven. So we kind of put a competition aspect to it,
Love
you
it.
know. And I was always, you know, and I challenged them. I'm like, my girl's fast. I'm just going to tell you she is, and she's done this a time or two. So, you know, it's game on. And so then we went outside and just had a moment, you know, and then kind of said 1, 2, 3, go. And then after that, I didn't have to say anything else because Jesus is going to do what he's going to do with them as they're watching that balloon rise up to heaven. And so at first I thought, well, I don't want to minimize the importance or significance of this moment, but I also found it helped them engage in the moment as guys. But then I was able to step back and just let the Lord speak to them in that moment as they were watching that balloon, and they would stand there longer than the women. They stood there longer than the women. They will stand out there in the freezing cold until they absolutely cannot see that balloon again. And they will come in, and they will keep the string. They will keep all the memories of that moment with them. And they'll say, "Amy, until I saw that balloon, it just made it real in a very real way of where my child now is." And it's also that moment of release as well that we know. So just giving them the opportunity to make it a little less awkward for guys, but then being able to step back and let the Lord use that opportunity.
That's beautiful. So, okay, so we've been talking to other abortion recovery leaders, and you know, maybe they're listening to you and they're like, you know, I've been feeling like I should address the men, but I'm not sure how. I mean, after I listened to you last year, I went back to my board and I said, we will do men if God brings them. And he hasn't. So I just kind of let it be that because we have to be called to it. God has to be leading us to it. And so I was just wondering in these last moments that we have together, what encouraging words would you give to women who are considering or are a bit fearful in leading men?
You know, again, I would say step out there on faith. I mean, this whole ministry is based on faith. This is
That's
what we
true.
do. We step into a room and we don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, and we don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to bring. And whether it's a women's group or a men's group, I have heard stories so horrific. I have thought to myself, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here. I don't even know if this is possible. And yet every single time. He is faithful. He shows up every single time. It will be no different with the men. The Holy Spirit is not going to step back and say, "Oh, I can't heal today. There's a woman in the room." He would never do that. We know our
So
Lord.
true. He
We
was the
know who
liberator
he
of
is.
women. Yes.
Yes. We know the heart of our Lord and we know his faithfulness. So just trust in that and step forward in faith. If he brings you men, do it. Step with them. Step into it. Of course, do it above reproach. Of course, have guidelines. Put all of those guardrails in place and then step into that moment in faith, knowing that the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to show up. We know he will.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Amy Garner, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your time today. I do appreciate it. And if anybody listening wants more advice, wisdom, or support in leading men, Amy's email will be in the show notes.